And this is David Gray, news writer with the Livingston Parish News. We are here about a week before, or no, less than a week before the next school year begins. And we are here with the man who is in charge of the Livingston Parish public school system. And I guess I'll let him introduce himself right now for y'all.
Yeah, I'm Joe Murphy. I'm superintendent of Livingston Parish Public Schools. And I have the honor and privilege of serving that capacity for the last 4 years. And we're looking forward to the new year, which will start for our kids Tuesday, August 9th. Our kids will show up, our buses will roll, and we're going to have school.
Yeah, new year, and for the first time since before the pandemic, COVID-19 is not at the forefront. I know the last 2 years has been a challenge, to put it mildly, I guess. I know we've had board meetings, you've had reopening plans, phase reopening plan. I mean, face mask, people worried about testing, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. But this is the first year in about 2 years where I guess y'all are still mindful of it. Absolutely. You still have to report your numbers to the Department of Health, but it's not at the forefront. So I guess for you, from an administrative standpoint, your employees, how different has it been this summer preparing for school year compared to the last 2 years?
Yeah, you know, David, once we emerged from under the emergency declarations and the pandemic declarations, we were able to have a little bit of latitude on how we treated COVID. The first thing I'd like to tell anyone who's listening is we will open our schools this year under the same guidelines that we were operating on when we closed. I think it was on May 24th or May 25th, whenever we closed, which means that a mask will be optional. We want to assure everyone, if they want to send their child, you know, masked to school, that's perfectly fine, but they're not mandated. We also will still let parents choose at this point in time whether or not they quarantine their children. They can remain at school if you have certain things fulfilled. Let me assure that our public that we have no intention, first of all, of testing children for COVID on our campuses. That has never been something that Livingston Parish Public Schools has been in favor of. And we're certainly not in favor of administering any vaccine to any of our children on our school grounds. We do feel like those decisions are best left to the parent and the medical provider. We do encourage our parents to reach out to their medical provider if they've got concerns about their children. And also, we have medical staff, you know, on our campuses, and we'll be happy to work with the parents in any manner which they may. But I'm glad David started out with this, because I do want to try to emphasize that this year we'd rather not have COVID in the forefront. We'd rather do what we do, and that's educate children. And we're excited about educating children this year. So hopefully, as we move through this, it can become less and less of an issue, and we can focus on what's important, and that's educating our children and taking care of our children.
Well, you kind of segued right into it. Speaking of taking care of children, what happened in Uvalde, that has something that has led to conversations across the country about school safety. And I mean, you spoke about this at a board meeting over the summer. I mean, you can't prepare for every single thing that could happen, but you prepare for as much as possible to be as ready as you possibly can. And I know you mentioned some of the things in that board meeting, but those who might not have read the story, I guess, what are some of the things that the district is doing currently, has done for the last few years? Because this is not something that just y'all started talking about after Uvalde. This is something that you're talking about constantly.
Yeah, it's a constant evolving process. And you know, unfortunately, in today's society across our nation, we're facing a lot of obstacles along these lines. And I want to assure our parents and whoever may be listening to this that we have several emergency plans in place. We have processes and procedures for all this. We are currently engaging in some training for our teachers through LPSO that we are making available to them to give them a little bit better understanding of how to handle these emergency situations. Yes, we still lock doors. Yes, we monitor our campuses. Yes, we monitor all the communications that comes through our schools. And every one of our schools has emergency plans, David. Those plans are updated every year. Our employees take part in what's called Safe Schools Training, and there's several trainings on there that teaches them how to deal with stressful situations, including you know, unfortunately, when we have somebody on campus who's not supposed to be there, we have SROs. We have 13 SROs on our site, and we are currently exploring the possibility of entering into agreement with another entity to increase the security presence on our campuses. And I think I might have some information on that as early as tomorrow evening, where we can provide just a little bit more detail along that. But I think, David, you hit it right on the head. As we see this, it constantly evolves, and I want to assure our public that we are constantly evolving, and we're looking for better ways every day to provide for the safety and security of not only our children, but of our faculty and staff. So it is absolutely at the forefront of what we do. The health and the safety and the well-being of our students and our employees is our number one priority, and we're going to do everything we can. And I think you've already alluded to this. I certainly can't sit here and promise that we can handle every situation and we will never have to face something as traumatic as you've seen happen across the nation. But we can be aware, we can train for it, we can prepare for it, we can do all the things that we can do to prevent that. And hopefully we won't have to face that situation. But, you know, with that said, we are constantly looking for the better mousetrap, if you will, to help mitigate some of these concerns and risk.
Yeah, and I've seen it like the last couple of years where y'all have taken these, you know, because you take these anytime there's some sort of alarming situation where, you know, messages written in bathrooms, you know, that we had, I think, two of those last year. One of the junior highs had a call. I can't remember if it was like a fake bomb threat, but y'all have also that partnership, I believe, with Crime Stoppers you mentioned, where people could call in. So, I mean, y'all, those practices have been, you've been seeing results from them, like, you know, just in the time, you know, just in those two public incidents, really.
And I think you bring a good point. I don't know if the public's aware of this, but on our district website, there is an actually reporting function that we're required by the state of Louisiana to have on there in case there is someone with some knowledge of some particular alleged incident or proposed incident or conversations are had, that you can actually go to our website and report any concerns that you have. And we've had a few of those. And I want to assure you, when we get those, the first thing we do is reach out to local law enforcement and engage with the law enforcement agencies. Because while we do everything we can on this, we understand that we're educators. We're not law enforcement people.
Yeah.
We, you know, our function is to educate children, but it's also to keep children safe. And I'm thankful for the partnerships of law enforcement agencies. Whether we're talking about Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office or Denham Springs PD or Walker PD or Albany PD or Springfield PD or wherever, every time we reach out to our law enforcement agencies in this parish, there's a tremendous response and we get tremendous results. And we're very, very thankful for that strong relationship.
Yeah. Well, switching a little bit to something that might be personal for you a little bit, we got the news and earlier this week that Southside Mega, yeah, he's smiling now. For those who are just listening to this, he has a big smile on his face, Mr. Murphy. The Southside Mega Campus on Highway 16, Pete's Highway, is opening. It will be ready for the first day of school, correct? Or for students to be there, at least. We'll see. Yeah, I guess they're. I used to do construction, so I know these next few days are probably crazy punch-out time for them. But yeah, so this project, this is the last campus or schools to be rebuilt from the flood. Denham Elementary opened in January. This campus, I haven't seen it yet. I've seen the pictures. We've driven by it a million times. I can only picture what it looks like on the inside. Yeah. State of the art, everything that you could possibly want in a school. It's something that you talked about with Denham Elementary, that you wanted to make it 21st century learning facility, maximize every space for learning. I imagine the same was done at this mega campus, I guess. I guess for you personally, you taught there, principal, coach, this process, seeing this school, these schools come to fruition, and then just the finality of finish, kind of just being done with the flood now.
Yeah. I have to be real careful when I start discussing this, because it is, I would be lying if I said it wasn't pretty personal for me. It's personal on a couple of different levels. But before I do that, I'd like to start out with this. If there's anybody listening to this podcast, or anybody with any special connections that y'all could make it stop raining every day, it would greatly help us out on this campus. Yeah. It has rained every day. And, you know, I will tell you, from a building perspective, we're in really good shape. You mm-hmm. know, the building's great. Obviously, there's some site work that still needs to be done there to make it, you know, acceptable. And you know, we have every intention to open as parents. We have every intention to open school on August 9th. The kids that go to South Elementary and Southside Junior High will be on a brand new campus. We have every intention to open that campus. We would like to caution our parents as we go by. That's a brand new process for everybody. Mm-hmm. We have to work out the logistics. We have to make sure everybody knows where they go. We've got new turning lanes there on Peach Highway in front of the school. So parents, please be patient with us. We're running our buses in there. We're running our carpool lines in there. Now, I'm going to give a special advisory for some of our parents. On our elementary campus, on the elementary side, and David referred to this as mega campus. This is one large campus that's split in half. It's not actually split. It's together, but two schools occupy that space. If you have a child on the elementary side, please remember this. If you have a large, jacked-up, four-wheel drive pickup truck on the elementary carpool side, you have to go under the structure to drop off your children. Now, I'm just saying, I drive a big 3,500 heavy-duty, dual-wheel crew cab truck, and it fits just fine under that structure. But I don't know. You know, Livingston Parish is kind of famous for them big four-wheel jacked-up trucks. So if you got an elementary child, just please remember that part of the elementary carpool line does go under the structure. The structure, you have about 7 foot, 6 inches clearance mm-hmm. under that structure. So and normal automobiles and normal vehicles and all that, even the pickup trucks and stuff, fit fine. But if you got the 37-inch tires and a jacked up suspension, you might want to put it. And we do not have that issue on the junior high side, because the carpool does not go under the structure. Mm-hmm. Just briefly, this campus is by far the largest campus, obviously, we've ever had in Livingston Parish. And we didn't have a choice. We had to raise it up off the ground. When you drive by in the front, it looks like it's on the ground, but in actuality, the actual slab is about 11 feet off the ground. There are over 2,200 pilings that were driven under this structure to hold it. You are correct. This structure, this whole campus, was designed with specifics in mind. We've got a lot of input from a lot of different places. We made trips to Texas, Florida, Mississippi, to look at examples of what we might want to do with this. And we're very proud. While we're talking about that, I have to thank Alvin Fairbairn and Associates Architects, and of course Womack Construction, who is in charge, or is the contractor on that project. And we're still working through some logistics on that, but like I said, we do expect it to open on the 9th.
Yeah, and I know in the statement they all sent out about the school, y'all are hoping to do a open house at some point, yeah, probably, you know, a few weeks after school starts, once yeah. you kind of get the kinks worked out, like you said.
Yeah, you know, we kind of did the same thing at Denham Springs Elementary. We opened mm-hmm. that school, and then a little bit later, we organized an open house where we could bring people in. And we certainly expect to do the same thing at those campuses, where we'll open up that school, we'll let our community walk through that school and look at it. And truly, I know that, you know, I'm superintendent of the Parish Public Schools, and I'm supposed to feel that way. The schools are truly revolutionary. They're truly something we haven't seen out here before. And if you want to see what learning, what we believe learning should look like moving forward, and into this century and even beyond, please, when you get that opportunity, please go by the school and take a look at the schools, because they really are state of the art.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing the inside of that campus. I got a few pictures, and it, yeah, like you said, it looked incredible. And just knowing what, you know, how Denham Elementary ended up looking, I can't, you know, imagine two schools essentially, you know, K through eight, 1800, 1900 students, something like that.
It's built for that many kids. Yeah. Now, you know, our enrollment certainly won't be that. We'll be probably between 1,000 and 1,200 kids. But anybody who's living in Lewiston Parish right now knows that we better be building for the future.
Yeah.
Because there is growth coming to Lewiston Parish Public Schools like nobody's ever seen before. So those schools were built with the idea that they could handle more children as we move forward.
Well, speaking of, you're really good at segues.
I bet we're going to talk about development right
now,
right?
Yeah, that was a, people have talked about it a lot the last few months. But
yes,
me and McHugh, we did our podcast earlier today, and that was, we talked about the moratorium. But that's something that has come up, new developments. I mean, Lewiston Parish is growing rapidly. I think 50,000 people since 2000. And a lot of that goes to the school system.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons why a lot of people move out here specifically is for the school system, and something to be proud of, but also, you know, something that you have to manage. And one of the things that people brought up with all these new developments, some of those who are against the new developments were talking about the strain that it put on schools. And I mean, y'all aren't the only school system facing this. Teacher shortage, finding qualified teachers, that's an issue that's going on nationwide. Y'all have said it repeatedly. Any kid that comes to Lewiston Parish, y'all are going to provide an education. That's y'all's responsibility legally and, you know, morally. That is your responsibility.
It really
to do.
Is.
So, can you, I guess, talk about some of the stuff that y'all are, you know, just some of the issues that you are facing with possible, you know, teachers being able to retire soon, or just, I guess, what y'all are seeing from your perspective on that?
Well, and I think we can probably start with a conversation on teachers and staff. You know, if you've noticed, no matter where you go and no matter what industry you're involved in right now, personnel or staffing is an issue for everyone. Whether you're going to get a coffee at the gas station, or whether you're working in a school, or where you're trying to fly on an airline and they've got a plane and they don't have a crew. So, you know, it's a problem, and of course it's a problem us making sure that we have teachers in front of our kids every day. And, you know, development is great. Please don't misunderstand us. We're in favor of development. We do believe that, you know, the economic engine in Lewiston Parish is just revving up now, and we're looking forward to see what that happens. But it also brings with it some responsibilities on our end. You know, when a child arrives, we have to educate that child. We don't choose not to educate children. We have to educate them. But you have to understand, when that happens, we have staffing issues that we have to address. We have capacity issues. You know, I think our schools are about 80% full right now. So, you know, and that's across the parish. Mm-hmm. And we all know that development tends to be specified in particular areas. For the last few years, south of Walker, there was a tremendous amount of development south of Walker, and now we're seeing a tremendous amount of development south of Denham Springs that's coming before the council and coming for the planning council. We've got some development down in French Settlement that everybody's been talking about. So along with that comes a responsibility to staff our schools, and that has been much more difficult than it has in the past. You know, one of the keys to educating a child is to try to keep that student-teacher ratio as low as we can get it. You know, we're not in favor of shoving 32 kids in a class for the teacher, because that puts too much strain on the kids and our teacher. Mm-hmm. But with that also, you got to understand, we've got to transport those kids, which means we have to buy buses. And by the way, just like everything else, you know, the last time we bought buses, I think they were around $85,000 a piece. They're now over $100,000 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary buildings is always a problem. We've had to bring in some temporary buildings because of capacity. Cost of temporary building has gone up dramatically over the last year. You know, the fact that we have to man our buses with, you know, bus drivers, and we school food service. You know, this district just chose to continue what we call CEP, which is community eligibility program or provision.
I think it's provision,
which means parents, it's really, really easy to understand. Your child eats for free, period. And we chose to do that this year. We are facing a little bit of gap financially this year, but we do feel like there's some new information that may come forward next year. And our greatest hope is that we could continue to feed children free in this parish up till as far as 2026 and 2027.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge this year financially, but the district and the board chose to bear that responsibility instead of putting that responsibility back on our parents of having to pay for breakfast and lunch for their children.
Yeah.
So, you know, and when you're a parent, if you got three kids in a school, that's a significant cost when you're trying to feed your child every day. And throughout, you know, our kids are on campus 177 days a year. So I'm very appreciative to the board that chose to continue the CEP process this year. And we're looking forward to seeing if we can qualify for that program again for another 4 years after this year. So those are just some of the concerns. Obviously, folks, one of the greatest concerns is infrastructure. If you have driven anywhere in Livingston Parish, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the parish council is trying to address that. They've done some things to try to address that. You know, I know that there's been some talk about a school impact fee. We have provided the council with some information along that line. We're kind of waiting to see. You mentioned the moratorium. I think it just expired.
Yes.
So we're not sure where we're going there with that. That if that fee is feasible and the parish council decides that they're going to participate in that, then, you know, that fee would be the responsibility of the developers, you know, and then we would have to go from there. And that's a real controversial subject, I think, for everybody involved. Like I said, we're not opposed to development, but we think it should be sustainable, orderly development that we can handle from a school system perspective.
Yeah, and I do remember in the resolution that y'all drafted that I believe it was over $100,000 to teach one kid
for 13 years.
Yeah. And the impact fee, you know, proposal was a small fraction of that.
It is. It really is.
However, so you're not trying to make a buck. You're trying to.
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, a matter of fact, you know, one of the reasons school impact fees came up was, you know, obviously to try to mitigate some of the costs with the new developments. But when we choose to build a new school in Livingston Parish, we have to ask for a bond for Livingston Parish. And I don't want to mislead anybody. A school impact fee is not going to change that because mm-hmm. it's not significant enough money.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking about an elementary school, you know, let's just use Denham Elementary as a measuring stick. We opened that in January. That school was planned 3 years ago, and it cost $16.1 million. There is no way you get an elementary school right now for $16 million. You're probably talking $20, $25 million just to build an elementary school. You want to talk about a middle school, you're probably talking above $30 million to build a middle school. And Lord have mercy, don't try to build a high school with athletic facilities because that is astronomical. So we've got to find ways to expand our existing facilities and then save that when we have to ask for money, that people need to be absolutely confident that we're asking for that because we have no other avenue to handle that. Now, the good news on the three schools that we're building is, you know, we participated, and David mentioned the flood of 2016. Well, we participated in federal disaster funding there. So you know, these three schools are being paid for. 90% is being paid for FEMA and 10% is being paid for CDBG, Community Development Block Grant. So in actuality, we would have never had the opportunity to build these three schools like this with not participation in that federal grant.
Yeah.
So there's no way we would have ever recovered from this.
Yeah, I think school board president Cecil Harris, whenever people were talking about building a new school, when he came to one of the board meetings, he said, look at Denham Elementary. It was almost $20 million. That's how much it cost to build an elementary school. Now, don't think about, like you said, the other higher grade schools. Yeah.
Well, you know, and along those same lines, and we're very thankful for this, you know, the people in the Denham Springs district voted to extend a bond that we already had, and they're getting brand new athletic facilities, which are, by the way, are spectacular and wonderful. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the baseball and softball and the new football improvements at Denham Springs High, please do so. And look, while we're on this topic, David, it may be a little bit of a negative on this, but I'm sure the public is aware that last Friday we had an event up at Live Oak Junior High in the gym. First and foremost, I was there. The response from the surrounding communities, from the fire, the police, to everybody, we can't thank you enough, because I want to tell you that fire could have easily spread to the rest of our campus, spread to other buildings. And they worked so hard to contain that. Now, was the gym destroyed? And listen, we understand that's the old Live Oak High gym. A lot of people played in there. We know there's a lot of community sentiment that went through that gym. But I want to assure the public that we're on that project. This Thursday night, we'll point a professional record for the redesign of that facility. We hope to get it back as soon as we possibly can. And I want to thank all the first responders who responded to that. And the Live Oak, the Watson community itself has been wonderful, offering their assistance and all the different things up there. So we are aware of that. Yes, we have insurance. Yes, we'll be able to redesign it and build it. And I'm confident it'll be better than it's ever been. I know we'll never replace the memories in that building, but yes, we're going to be fine up there.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, could have spread. It was contained.
Absolutely.
I mean, that school's 5 years old, just about. I mean, just
we opened in 2015.
I think it was later than that, because when I joined the paper, it was 2017, was it not?
It might have been.
Yeah. It was. It's a new school. It's still a new school.
New.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's still a new school, and it could have spread. It was contained because you hear what they had to do to put it out. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to do that.
And with all due respect, one of the complicating factors of when the first responders there working on it, when that structure was built, we entered into an agreement with Office of Emergency Preparedness here in Livingston to build that as a hurricane shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So it created some structural differences in that gym that made the extinguishing of that blaze extremely hard.
Yeah.
You know, it has a huge standby generator. It was retrofitted for wind resistance up to, I don't remember how many miles per hour it was. It was either 150 or 200 miles an hour. I don't remember. But that created some difficulty with them, you know, working that disaster. And I believe the fire chief said it was one of the hardest ones he'd ever. So as we move forward, we're still in that agreement with OEP, Livingston Parish OEP out here. So we'll have to consider that. We'll have to build it back to that shelter specification when we do rebuild.
Well, Mr. Murphy, we're almost at 30 minutes, so we'll I think we've got plenty of good info today on the back to school. I know you're always excited for this time of
year.
Every year, it's, you know, I remember this from going to school, but I mean, you being a professional educator, I mean, every year feels different. Like you get these butterfly feelings when school's about to start. So I imagine that you've kept them for, I mean, otherwise, why would you be doing it as long as you have?
Yeah.
You must still get excited. about the start of school.
And I'll tell you, and I know you, most people won't have this opportunity, there is nothing better than going to a school on the first day.
Yeah.
The first day is awesome. You've never seen so many smiles, so many hugs, so many welcome backs. It's just, it's an experience that everybody should have. And, you know, I talked to our principals last week in a meeting, and, you know, I said, let's focus back on the things we do. Let's focus on educating our children. Let's focus on taking care of our children. Let's focus on taking care of our employees. Let's focus on improving our schools. And probably one of the things that we need to do the most is improve our community. Please partner with us. Tell us what you need for us to improve so that our community can get better, because we want to be an integral part of the Livingston Parish community, and we want our schools to be an integral part of every, whether you're in Denham Springs or Maurepaw or Live Oak or wherever you are. Please, please give us the feedback. Let us be part of your life. Let us be part of your child's life. And I will tell you this, nothing can make us happier than when the kids show up on August 9th. That will be a great day.
Especially those kids that's outside.
Those children have been living in a temporary campus for 6 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's time. I'm very, very thankful for so many that worked so hard to see this come to fruition. And yes, I am very thankful to put the last schools from 2016 flood behind us and move forward. There are great things happening in Livingston Parish Public Schools, and there are great things happening in Livingston Parish. We're glad that you're here. Let us be a part of your life. Let us participate, and let's move Livingston Parish far into the future.
All right, Mr. Joe Murphy, thank you very much. Once again, this is David Gray, news writer with the Livingston Parish News. You can follow us on www.livingstonparishnews.com, or you can get our print edition, which comes out every Thursday. So thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.